Good morning to you all, and God's blessings on this, the beautiful day that he has made. My food is to do the will of God who sent me. These are the powerful words that we heard in today's incredibly powerful gospel passage. It is one of my favorite gospel passages and stories in the scriptures of all time. Essentially, it gives you and me a lesson in how to approach other human beings. The context of which, as we remember, is Jesus going into Samaria, which was adjacent to Israel, with his disciples. In the heat of the day, he comes to the well of Jacob, the great patriarch, and he goes by the well at about high noon, and his disciples go into a nearby town in order to get some food and bring it back for them to eat together. As he is at the well, he encounters a Samaritan woman going to get water from the well, and he approaches her and enters into conversation. Essentially, he asks her for a drink of water. It's very normal in the heat of the day at high noon to be thirsty. And so he asks her for a drink of water. And then she responds, wait a second. Jesus has broken a couple of laws by speaking with her. First of all, it's illegal for a man by himself to be speaking with a woman. And second of all of his day, it's illegal, according to Jewish law, for a Jewish man to speak to a Samaritan. We remember, of course, how many times Jesus refers to the Samaritans as faithful people, do we not? The parable of the Good Samaritan, this as well as other times. And he is doing that primarily in order to challenge many of the leaders of his day and the Jewish people in general of the day, because they did not accept, neither did they accept Gentiles in general, and especially they did not accept Samaritans. And I think we have to look at it a little bit deeper to understand why. Samaritans accepted the first five books called the Torah, or the Pentateuch of the Old Testament, or the Hebrew Scriptures, but they didn't accept everything else. They knew a Messiah was coming, but they didn't accept all of the Judaic laws. And for that reason in particular, they were looked at as partially correct, but in terms of many people, partially correct is worse than being not correct at all. And so they were looked down upon. In fact, when Jesus himself was challenged by the Jewish authorities, when they asked him, do you have a Samaritan inside of you? Almost akin, do you have a demon inside of you? And so it was illegal for him to speak with a Samaritan, according to Jewish law of the day. It was illegal for him to speak as a man to a woman. And he broke both of those laws, and she was aware of it. And she says, how is it that you, a Jew, speak to a woman, a Jewish man, speak to a woman of Samaria? For Jews have nothing to do with Samaritans. And then Jesus' response, if you knew who it was who you were speaking with, you would ask him, and he would give you living water. This really made the lady curious. How can you draw water? You don't have anything to draw with, and the well is very deep. Essentially, not to go into too much detail, but Jesus begins his conversation with her at a very physical level, based upon physical needs of any human being, including his, as he is perfectly God and perfectly man. So he was thirsty. But when he sees her response, he understands, as he knew before, because he is God at the same time as he is man, and he knew everything. He sees her response and how she is interested to go deeper into conversation with him. A little bit different than even Nicodemus, just a chapter earlier in the Gospel of John, who, when Jesus said, for those who follow God, they have to be born again, and his response, well, wait, how can somebody go back into a mother's womb? He couldn't get past the physical aspect of things. He couldn't get into the spiritual. And Jesus responded, no, you must be born of water and the Spirit. Well, this woman, a little bit more powerfully than even Nicodemus, who became a follower of Jesus, by the way, this woman is pricked in her conscience with interest and curiosity. This Samaritan woman, how can you draw water? And then his response is, if you knew who it was, he would give you living water to where you would not have to come again and get any of this water. And sure response is, give me some of that water so I don't have to come here in the heat of the day. By the way, she probably was coming in the heat of the day to get the water because most likely she was an outcast. And we know why in just a few verses. So I'm sure the other women went at 6 a.m. when the sun, when it's not too hot. Back to those days when the women went to get water. Just kidding, of course. The women are getting these large 20-gallon pots of water, and they're bringing it, not the men. The women are doing this. But can you imagine how difficult it was for her to go in the middle of the day? But she probably was an outcast from her fellow women. Jesus said, she said, give me some of that water. And his response is, before I give you some of that water, go call your husband. To which she responded, I'm not married. To which Jesus said, you are correct in saying that you are not married. You've been married 5 times, and the man that you are with now is not your husband. Now, if she wasn't curious, if she wasn't faithful to one degree or another, at that point, she, in embarrassment, probably would have walked away. But what did she say? I perceive that you are a prophet. You know, the Jews talk about the Messiah coming. And he responds, I who speak to you am he. Okay. Let's go back to my original statement. The food that I have to eat is to do the will of God. And I mentioned to you this gospel passage is a lesson in how to treat one another. So I'd like for all of us to think for just a moment, for parents, on how you treat your children, for bosses, on how you treat your employees, for kids, on how you treat others, your peers. Jesus approached this woman, who according to Jewish law was a major sinner, in utter humility. He put himself in a position of needing something for her, because if he didn't, she would have not engaged in conversation. And so the question I pose to you, the question that is posed to me and to you by our Lord through his apostles, through the writings of the scriptures to the present day is, how do you treat one another? How do we approach other people? Even those who we know are doing things wrong, quote, unquote. How do we approach them? Do we approach them with a I'm better than you attitude? A judgmental attitude? Or do we approach him like our Lord approached the Samaritan woman? You know he loved her, don't you? This is God who became fully man, who loves every human being. And by his approach to her and his love for her, she became one who she had been created to be. She became a reflection of him in the way that she lived her life, even though up to that point, she probably had not. We can, however, determine by the way that she responded, there is goodness in this woman. Hang on for 1 second. The second thing I'd like to point out is, according to that which I said, my food is to do the will of God. So we approach one another according to the will of God with love, with respect. Now, this woman, he didn't tell to go back and live the way that you lived before. Let me be clear about that. He didn't say, okay, everything's okay in the way of your lifestyle. He didn't say that. He basically invited her to follow him. And she took that invitation, and she did. And as we have said on many occasions, the rest of the story is that this lady became a saint. And what is her name? Fortini. Saint Fortini. We celebrate her on February 26th. And Fortini means the enlightened one. She was enlightened. She became who she really was. Since I think it's a little bit cute, I've repeated this, I'll repeat it again. She was looking for love in all the wrong places, as the country western song would say, right? And in Christ Jesus, she found love in the correct places. If he, however, would have approached her like most others would, and I dare say most of us would approach somebody like that today, not only would it not encourage her to have a conversation with him, it would have further distanced her from God. And likewise with us, if we don't approach people with that kind of respect and love, whether they are peers, whether they are employees, whether they are friends, if we don't approach them, we run the risk of separating them further from us. And when they are separated from us, to one degree or another, they're separated from God. We have not only a vertical relationship, but a horizontal relationship in life. By the way, that is why the historical Christian churches have always focused not only on our relationship with God personally, but our relationship with God personally in community. In the community of believers. The community of believers provides that horizontal element of relationship and the vertical relationship ours with God. There's a check and balance, because I can be super with Jesus, me and Jesus, me and Jesus, me and Jesus, me and Jesus, and potentially I can treat others very poorly. So there has to be this check and balance. So as we remember today, on this, the Sunday, the fourth Sunday of the Paschal period, the Sunday after the Wednesday of the midpoint of Pentecost, I'm going to read this hymn of mid-Pentecost. Midway in the feast, refresh my thirsty soul with the flowing waters of piety. For you cried out to all, O Savior, let him who thirsts come to me and drink. You, O Christ our God, are the fountain of life, glory to you. So as he is at the well of Jacob, let us go to our Lord and Savior and find true drink. Let us eat from his body and drink of his blood, that he might abide in us and we in him. Through the intercessory prayers of Saint Fortini, the Virgin Mary, the Theotokos, and St. Catherine the Great Martyr, his blessings be with you all.